Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
It's Lindegaard making for his back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris, expanded by the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil. Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Manel, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Tuan. Goal.
Hello and welcome to the Glovers Cast. I'm Ian, joined today by Ben Barrett and Dave Coates, and we're here to talk. This is probably going to be the most positive Yeovil Town themed podcast you will listen to on Monday, the 18th of October, 2021. I think it's the only way we can kick this one off. How are we doing, lads? We've had a sleep. Do we need more?
Several more, I'd say. Yeah. Is it going to be positive just because we're going to talk? Is that it? Doesn't matter what we say, it's going to be more positive because not crying in a corner.
It's going to be the most positive Yeovil Town theme podcast that listeners will hear on the 18th of October, because there are no other Yeovil Town theme podcasts probably coming out unless Mr. Day pops up with a YouTube stream again.
Maybe he's Mr. Brightside.
I'm sure we can think up of a few names for him. So how are we doing? Are you all right?
I'm all right. How are you, Ben?
I'm a little bit down.
Yeah.
A little bit blue. A little bit violet and sky. A little bit hurtful. A little bit purple. I'm a little bit everything you like, lads.
This is a Tom Jones lyric again. I'm trying to figure this one out.
That's Mika.
Have you been on TikTok or something, Ben?
No, I don't I don't do a TikTok.
It's one of those songs that's all over TikTok.
Oh, is it? No, I don't do a TikTok. No.
Oh, okay.
It seemed to fit quite nicely. No, I'm not feeling great, lads, to be honest with you. I'm not feeling particularly.
Our very own Mr. Brightside needs a lift, doesn't he?
A little bit, yeah. No, I don't feel particularly great about Yeovil Town at the moment. Who does? Yeah.
Yeah, it was that sort of afternoon. I mean, luckily for you two, you weren't there.
We felt like we were there, though, because we were listening to you.
Yeah, I spent the afternoon on Three Valleys Radio, delivering my insight, you might call it.
Square root of zero Glovers Cast plugs, by the way, on international radio. Cheers.
Well, I thought after your diatribe on Friday's episode and being less than 2 meters, you know, 2 meters away from the target of said diatribe.
Is that COVID safe?
Yeah, we had a window between us. The window was open, though. I thought I'd better be a little bit careful. Yeah. Don't want to get
You know when we say they all listen?
Yeah.
He don't listen.
I reckon he does.
You reckon he does?
No, he doesn't.
He hasn't walked. Well, I guess he did walk away in the end, didn't he?
But, he did at the end of the game, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eventually once security let everyone out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Away from the baying hordes of 11-year-olds that were massing outside the away terrace.
Yes. Yeah.
Massing or gathering in their tens.
The tens of, yeah. tens of fans.
They don't think they'll be doing a sequel to Football Factory there, will they? But
No, I wouldn't have thought so. It was all a bit silly. I think the way the game went, well, I said yesterday, probably the worst possible way, other than defeat, it was the worst possible way that game could have gone. To concede a late goal like that in the environment, in the there was chants about Scott Priestnell yesterday, the most vocal they've been. Not that he was there to hear them.
Gonna have to shout really loud till they get to Turkey.
I think, yeah, it was, I don't know, it was just like it was destined to go that way. And it felt like our second half performance, we just invited Weymouth onto us. And we had no plan, no strategy to deal with it. I think the thing I noticed about Weymouth was the whole game, they knew what they wanted to do. They got the ball down, they passed the ball around, they worked it out. There was a couple of shaky moments with the keeper, but they sort of had a game plan and stuck to it, whereas we didn't have a game plan. I didn't know what our game plan was. We got the goal, which was, there was a bit of fortune in our goal, the way it broke through to Charlie Wakefield. It was a great finish by Charlie Wakefield, and he'll always have that moment of scoring in front of the Thatchers in the derby. And, you know, it was a really positive start. But we had a couple of chances, nothing major. Following that, and then I don't know what was said at half time, but we're just in our shells then. They just did not come out the same way. It was defensive, it was letting them on to us. We made I forgot his first name, we let Musa in the middle of midfield. Omar Musa. We made him look like Alonso. He was just spraying balls around. He was fantastic, really. And what we would do for a centre midfielder like that, just to control the game. He was really impressive. And I like the look of him.
We've got one. He's playing centre back.
yeah. And that's my thing, is if Josh Staunton, a defensively minded midfielder, is the answer to our midfield issues, what question are we asking? Because he's not that forward thinking. He's not going to grab the ball and run 40 yards with it to the edge of the box. And no. I love him. I think he's a fantastic player, and I think we would be a considerably worse side without him in the team. But at the same time, him and Gorman in the middle is still going to be a defensive-minded pairing that I don't think that... I think the change that we need on the pitch is more than just swapping the existing combinations playing the same sort of style of football. Because you have two defensive midfielders in that midfield, we're still going to just draw people onto us.
But from the evidence that we saw against Halifax and the evidence that we saw against Stockport, not only are they able to break things up better, they do dictate the play and allow the freedom. We've mentioned it before, just allow the freedom of those around them, because it gives them a certain level of sort of solidarity and solidity behind and attacking at times four, like we had at Stockport. So I think there is a very simple fix, and that would be to push Josh Staunton back into a midfield role to just play the I hate the phrase, but to play the quarterback to the dictator, where everything just ticks at his pace, whether he breaks stuff up, whether he starts things off. No, he's not going to run 40 yards with the ball and get to the edge of the box. That's not his job. His job is to allow Tom Knowles to do that. His job is to allow Charlie Wakefield to do that, to allow Jordan Barnett to scream down the left because there's extra cover. And that's what we saw in the games where we were good. And that's all we have really to go off. In the games where we were good and we were picking up big results, that Halifax win was really ugly and it was brilliant. The Stockport result was really expansive and it was lovely. And that was because we had that solid, solid base in the middle at the back that just allowed everyone else the freedom to do whatever the hell they want. And I feel like that's missing. When you talk about inviting pressure, when you talk about having a game plan, that's what that offered us. We had a game plan. We're going to break up and stifle creative players from the opposition, and we're going to get things going through that level of solidity. And that seems to have gone at the same time as our form has gone. And I'm just adding two and two together. And whether I'm making four or 444, I don't really know. That's why I'm not an FA qualified coach. But that I'm just picking together two things that seem to have coincided at the same time. It's probably as much the fact Luke Wilkinson isn't there. And actually, the four that we talked about was Hunt, Wilkinson, Staunton, Gorman. And getting back to that four at the earliest possible point has to be a benefit for us.
Well, we spoke all the way through those first games, obviously, with the exception of the very first one. And I chucked the older shot one in there as well, because although they were still finding each other, I think the Staunton-Gorman partnership was there. But I think also in that game, you saw more of Jordan Barnett getting forward. You saw more of Charlie Wakefield getting forward. I mean, it's obviously been a little while since I've seen anybody get forward because I haven't been there to watch it. But I think it's that settled side that we spoke about at the beginning of the season. We don't have that settled side anymore, do we? Because we're trying to chop and change to respond to things that we think are happening. And actually what we're doing is unsettling things rather than settling things down.
Yeah, I think we're breaking up those partnerships.
There is a partnership
a little
before
bit.
They start.
Yeah. Because, you know, we were 4-4-2 before. And I thought the 4-3-3 worked quite well in moments, but then what you lose is that protection in front of the fullback. I think Moss's form is not what it was when he first came to us, and maybe that's because he hasn't got Charlie Wakefield sat in front of him. Or we swapped up on the left hand side with Robinson in for a bit, and then Barnett's back in now, but he then doesn't have that protection in front of him because we've got more of a three in the middle. Then you've got Knowles having to play centre midfield with Worthington and Gorman. Seymour was running around a lot yesterday, and I do like him. I think there's a player in there, but he's come into us at a difficult time to make an impact. And I thought the big one for me that stood out yesterday was Joe Quigley. And I know after the game on Tuesday, I said on our conclusions that I thought he needed to be taken out, if anything, of the firing line, because he will bear the brunt of the criticism, because he is the target man. He is the person we're aiming the ball to every time, just by default. And yesterday just did not get a break at all. The defender who Weymouth had signed, Joseph Yarni, was all over him like a rash. He was first to the ball. He was winning the headers. He was winning those fouls that sometimes go the striker's way, but didn't go Joe Quigley's way yesterday. And then the corner at the end where they try to hold it and lose it within seconds, concede a foul. Keeper lumps it up, leads to a throw-in in the box, goal. It was just, his day was not a good day at all. Didn't really have any clear chances again. But then, you know, like I said, I think it's we're playing that bang out of form, that the changes need to be a bit more drastic. Like, we need to, maybe we have to try Yusuf and Seymour up front and change it a little bit. Stop lumping it up to Quigley. You know, the most success or the best football we played under Darren Sarr was probably when he had Duffus and Murphy up front, and they weren't particularly both target men type strikers, were they? Albeit we had very different personnel behind.
Not that you mentioned it.
Murphy. Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember any of those names.
You remember, did you know Carl Dickinson used to play for us?
And Charlie Lee.
Did he?
Yeah, and Charlie Lee.
I must have missed that.
Yeah.
I do think Darren Sahl needs to have a little bit of rule two about him. Maybe he needs a rule 1.5 because he can't contractually have a rule two. He doesn't get to wait till the day after.
Well, that's where he was, why it took so long after the game. He was having a little kick.
I wonder if he is just trying to take himself 5 minutes. But, I mean, for the first time yesterday, I got a little tiny bit frustrated about him bemoaning the lack of Dickinson and Lee and Smith and whoever else, and Dagnall he mentions time and time again. Do you know what? I get it. You do want to have those people back, but you haven't. You haven't. Let's concentrate on the guys that we have got. Because I think one thing we all agree on, and this is my daily dose of Beamore Barrett here, is that actually there is probably a half-decent, fairly good National League squad in there. I think we're all happy with Smith, the keeper. We like the fact that players like Max Hunt have got a bit about them at this level. Josh Staunton, we've spoken incredibly highly of. We know there's creativity in Wakefield and in Knowles. We've seen a goal scorer in Joe Quigley, even if he is out of form at the moment. There's a good National League side there. Barnett, I'd chuck in there as well. And even maybe some of the loanees that we've seen bits and pieces from. But we see more, you know, the message that we're being told is, but I haven't got Carl Dickinson. Yeah. But I haven't got Charlie Lee. No, but you have got good players. No, Jordan Barnett's not Carl Dickinson, but he's a left back who sticks a tackle in, who the fans are really trying to get behind and want to see more of. So let's just not worry about what's gone before us, because it's happened, it's done. Let's move on with the guys that we have got and try and get these guys going again, because there is a half decent squad there. And it just frustrated me last night hearing again for the umpteenth time about those players that aren't there and the leaders that are in tracksuits, not kits. I know. But come on. It just frustrates me.
Do you think what he's actually trying to say there is he hasn't got the backing to be able to bring in those options?
Oh, without question. And he has to veil that, because he can't come out and go, boss isn't giving me any money, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Because that's not, you can't say that.
Yeah, we draw down on the Sport England loan, please, boss? I need some more.
So, you know, he can't say that, and I appreciate that he can't say that. But can we not talk about Carl Dickinson next week if we lose in the replay, or if we go to Grimsby and get tonked 6-0? Can we not mention that? Can we not talk about Charlie Lee? He plays for Billericay. If you want to go watch Billericay, go and watch Billericay. Crack on. If you want to go up to Hanley Town, be my guest. But I'm just a bit like, okay, can we just worry about the guys that we have got? Because I think that's the big stark difference between the two interviews. Josh Staunton was talking about the guys that were hurt. He was saying there's a dressing room that's hurt. There's a dressing room that needs to go and put a few past them. You know, we understand. I feel like he doesn't hold quite the same punches. Maybe because he took an extra few minutes just to kind of breathe. Maybe he is one of the leaders in the dressing room, and I appreciate that. But it's a stark difference between the way that they're talking. And when that's the only output we get, a bunch of frustrated supporters are not going to appreciate, but we haven't got Carl Dickinson. It's just a frustration on top of an unnecessary frustration in terms of on the pitch.
I think we were sort of told as well, you know, this manager is a developer of young talent, loves coaching young players. Mm. But we're not seeing that, are we? He coaches them, obviously, but after a game, he's very quick to dig out the fact that they're young players. And I don't know, I find that, well, you know, I'm not a manager, obviously.
Yeah.
I just find it a bit, I don't know, it doesn't sit right with me.
No, but I think development football, under 23 stuff at Watford, he would have had that as an academy. It's so, so different, isn't it? It's a real proper men's professional football.
It is, yeah.
It's so, so different. So he is probably a very good youth player, but a youth coach that he can work with a player for 18 months, like he may have done with Sonny Blue, like he may have done with Dion Pereira. and stick them out in under 18s games and under 16s games and under 15s games, whatever else. And if it doesn't quite go right, you just kind of ruffle the hair and go, never mind, mate, there's always next week. At this level, it's not never mind, mate, there's always next week, because there are tickets to sell. There are sponsorships to sell. There are people to try and get on board. And at the end of the day, there are mortgages on the line and there are jobs on the line and things like that. So it is different. And, you know, we have had some success. Romeo Hutton and players like that and Josh Neufeld, who have come to us and hugely benefited from their time with us. So I'm not going to completely dig him out for comments about his youth coaching, because we have had some success alongside a few iffy ones as well.
I think the one thing listening to his interview followed by Josh Staunton's interview that struck me was the lack of accountability as well. I mean, like you said, Ben, Josh Staunton's first thing that he said was, we've got to look at ourselves as a group of men. I thought I heard a little bit of the manager in there when he mentioned as a group of men. But and then he said, because we weren't good enough, whereas with Darren Sow, he's, what did he say at the end? Something about we've got to grow a pair. Some of these players have to grow a pair. And I thought to myself, well, to be honest with you, Darren, I think Josh Staunton's grown a pair more than you have there. And I felt more like Josh Staunton was the manager and Darren Sow was the player, listening to those two interviews. And can I follow one into battle, but I'm not sure I follow the other. Maybe that's a problem.
Can we, you know, and saying that, as soon as the final whistle goes yesterday, yep, Darren Sarr's down the tunnel. And those players were on the pitch and they did do their lap and they did, you know, applaud the fans. And they were there front and centre to take it. Whereas
who orchestrated that then? Because the players could have just walked in, but there must have been a leader that turned around and said, no, we stay. Who was it, Skiver?
I can't say I noticed. I didn't.
If anyone knows, notice. Let us know, because that would be interesting. You talk about leaders and characters and things and buzzwords that we've heard a million times. Who was it that kept the players on the pitch and made them do their lap and made them thank and apologise? I'm not sure. But who was it? Is it Skiver? Did he come on? And did he go, no, you get back out there and you do it? Was it Staunton? Was it the senior heads? Was it Reed and Little who were there and in their tracksuits? You know, is it those guys? I don't know, and I'll be interested to know, because, you know, we do need those people big time.
Maybe Carl Dickinson ran up.
Oh, that'll be it.
Stay out there, yeah.
That'll be it. Hanley went out in the last round, didn't they? They probably had a 3 day.
Yeah, he's probably there.
Yeah.
Didn't see him.
No. Too busy orchestrating. Stay on.
Yeah, no, I didn't think that was very good. Again, though,
and this is where we cannot, and I'm trying to play devil's advocate to make this, to add context wherever I can. I don't know what that feels like as a manager to concede a 94th minute game after you've bigged it up for 2 weeks. Because when I was on the press conference 2 weeks ago, ahead of whatever game it was, he was talking about the Weymouth game and he was bigging it up. And for 93 minutes, however good or bad the performance was, we were in the hat. We were in the next round. We were an FA Cup first round team. It was going to be the corner turner for this season. And then to concede like that in the way that we'd done, if we conceded in the 70th minute and it was 1-1, he may have had a bit more time just to chill and calm and then go back out. Maybe he just didn't react particularly well. And I, as someone who doesn't know what that feels like, I'm not, you know, yeah, I'm just a bit wary of giving someone complete pelters when you don't really know the situation, but you do want professional manager head to kind of switch on a little bit quicker, maybe. At least by the time he does his pre-match, post-match press conference, however many hours it was afterwards. I'm trying to do benefit of doubt stuff. I'm trying to play both sides of it, because we don't know, do we? We don't know what it's like in that dressing room right now. It might be pretty darn toxic, and I'm trying to figure out what it's like. I don't know.
I think the biggest benefit of the doubt I'd give him is what I've said before. What I've said today is that he just doesn't have the backing there to be able to do anything. That's the biggest thing. We've said before that there's so many people at the club that are doing things with their hands tied behind their back. And Darren Sow is doing something with his hands tied behind his back. And we spoke before about how when he came in his first season and he didn't have a team there and he put one together. And then the second season there was COVID, and this season, you know, I don't know. It just feels like there's a reason, you know, there are reasons for everything, but I just wonder how much those reasons matter. No, you could say last season, everybody had COVID. Obviously, everybody didn't have everything that we had thrown at us last season. The beginning of the season before, he came in and had to pick up that, well, what was, I think we said Matt Worthington sat looking back at him and nobody else. But there always seems to be a, oh, yeah, but if we didn't have that, oh, yeah, but if we didn't have that. When you get to three seasons of saying, oh, well, if we had more of this or more of that, is it those reasons? Is it just those reasons? Or is it just the fact that he's not the right man for us? I think in that first half of the, in the first half of the first season, and probably all the way through the first season, albeit it was aborted, he undoubtedly was the one who, and we've said it all before, and we brought us through and gave us that spirit, and not to sound a bit like him and chucking Carl Dickinson and Lee Collins and Charlie Lee and all of those other people that we mentioned, they were the ones who brought us through then as well. But it just feels to me now that listening to he seems like he's given up to me when I hear his interviews, and I hear the same kind of things that I heard from Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson, who, you know, I would build a statue of the man somewhere if we could, for everything that he did for the club. But towards the end of his tenure with us, you just got the impression that he was looking in the hat for a rabbit to pull out, and there just wasn't one there. And I just see the same things from Darren Sall. He just looks like he doesn't know what to do, and he doesn't know what to do with what he's got there in front of him. Fair or unfair?
No, pretty fair. I think it's something that I alluded to last season, wasn't it? That I wanted Darren Sall to have a full, proper pre-season. And he, for all intents and purposes, apart from that break at the end, he got one.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes the start of the season so frustrating, because I held out so much hope based on what he did in about 10 minutes flat in the first season and what he managed to pull together. That if he had a full pre-season and he had a full recruitment sort of window, that we could really have something. And, you know, I'm sure you're going to ask me about it, but I did hit the snooze button for two games. And I joked last night. I said, well, technically this game's only at half time now, so I'm going to try and buy myself another one. But, you know, almost regardless of what happens in the replay, it feels to me like, oh, we're not going to get that, are we? We're not going to be quite where I wanted us to be, quite where I hoped we would be, quite where I thought we were going to be. I'm not quite sure whether or not that makes me Sall out yet. I don't know. I don't feel like I am, weirdly. Like, I feel like if you're going to nail your colours to the mast and be in, out, or shaking it all about, that you kind of, you feel it, and I don't feel it yet.
Think that's because the last game you went to, Stockport?
Yeah, it was. And that was absolutely sensational.
Yeah,
let's get that right. That was as near a damn at a perfect away day as I've seen in years. But there is a whole thing of the whole environment. This game of four home games in a row was not just about getting the home form sorted. It was not just about putting on a show. It was about selling tickets for Christmas. It was about putting on a performance. If you went yesterday, or if you went against Notts, or you went against Maidenhead. Are you going to sit there and turn around and go to your kids, should we do one over the Christmas games? No, it's Torquay. They're going to spank us. You know what I mean? If we're going to have... yesterday, we had two shots on target in a game we should have won and didn't win in the 94th minute. We had two shots on target again. We had plenty off target, and we had corners and we had chances. But we have to remember that we are trying to sell tickets here. You know, there's a chance that there could be half-season tickets. There's going to be, hopefully, a Christmas boom in the club shop. But all of that stuff only works in tandem with what's being viewed on the pitch.
Yeah.
When the majority of Yeovil Town fans are seeing complete dross for four consecutive home games, are you going to go to that Woking game Tuesday midweek? If less than 3,000 could be bothered to turn up for Weymouth, how many are going to turn up for that Woking game? Not many.
600 of them from Weymouth.
Well, so it was 3-3, wasn't it? Minus 600. Yeah. So two...
Closer to 700. 676 there were Weymouth fans.
So you're looking at what? 2-6, 2-5 from Yeovil?
Yeah. That's, for the first time we've played Weymouth in 20 plus years.
That's genuinely a disgrace.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are probably a thousand reasons why that's a disgrace, but it is a disgrace. And, you know, these four games have been a point where we, you know, we should have sold the football club. Ian, I was going to ask you a question, actually, about the build-up to this week, because it's something that I hadn't really noticed. Apart from the back page of the Western Gazette, and if anybody happened to stumble across the gloverscast.co.uk, was there any evidence that we were playing Weymouth in an FA Cup tie in the town or in around the area at all?
No.
I mean...
There wasn't that much on the Western Gazette, to be honest with you.
Do you know what I mean? This is where I start to bang my head against a brick wall.
Yeah.
One thing we've said at the Glovers Cast, isn't it, is that we need to sort of start reaching out beyond social media. Yeah, fine. We want to do that. We want to be on BBC. You're on Three Valleys. We're trying to get in the Western Gazette. We do a weekly column in the Western Gazette. One of you two's got to write one of those today, by the way. And things like that. We want to start reaching out. If there's no evidence in the town that we are playing them lot down the road for the right to play in the FA Cup first round for the first time in 21 years, what? We're trying to sell 19 quid tickets in the process. What? Someone tell me what's going on here. That's, you know, we're trying to, the whole club has this ethos at the moment that just baffles me a little bit. That isn't reaching out to this, that isn't reaching out to its community around them in a way that I thought it could, maybe should, at the moment. And that's a real disappointment. And that all comes because at the very, very top, there is nothing. So we talk about on the pitch, it seems like we are hamstrung. We are hands tied behind backs. At the very top, if the owner can't be bothered to be there for the biggest game in 21 years, why should anyone else bother? And I feel like I've gone on a tangent there, but it just frustrates the crap out of me that there was no effort to go and get a casual fan like my dad. My dad could have been there, lives in Yeovil, had no idea.
Yeah. And I think
more people, you know, doing things with town style behind their back, innit? More people off the pitch as well as on the pitch.
Yeah.
And obviously we saw the tickets were meant to be on sale until midnight on Friday. And they go back on sale until 1 o'clock. You know, there's only one reason they were back on sale, isn't there?
I wonder how many that boosted it by.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah.
So it's just that's the frustrating thing for me, that we just seem as a whole thing in what should have been the biggest moment in the club's last two decades, that we just sleptwalked into it. And that's exactly what we gave everyone who was everyone who deserved it. We gave them pelters for sleepwalking out of the Football League. Well, we sleptwalked into that game yesterday.
I mean, the club is literally dying in front of our eyes. I genuinely think that. When I go to the ground, having been there four matches in a row, not all the turnstiles open. I don't know why that is. Not sold enough tickets, not got enough people to volunteer to do them. The atrocious stuff behind the back of the Thatcher's Terrace, just a wasteland that wouldn't look, you know, too far out of place around the corner at the tip. The just environment with the supporters on Tuesday night and the bizarre chants and just weirdness. And then, yeah, the overarching negativity around the fact that we do have an owner who doesn't go to games, isn't there, doesn't give a shit, quite abundantly doesn't give a shit, and is taking everyone for a ride. If he gave a damn about the supporters and the club and bringing it back to the community like he talked about when he first came in, he would have replied to that statement immediately.
Yeah.
On Tuesday.
He probably doesn't even know that statement exists.
He does.
He doesn't care that statement exists.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's only, you know, it's only down to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fans feel this way because of how he's treated them and how he's treated the club. You know, that hashtag that kicked off on Thursday carried on into Friday. You know, Elliot started that, and then he's gone from that to Saturday after the game saying he's not going to put any more money into the club while the owner's there.
Bought a ticket for the replay, though. But that's because he's not putting money into the club.
Yeah. It's... I just, yeah, I mean, it was quite emotional looking through all those things that came up. And hopefully the people at the table look through that, get the message.
Yeah.
Get it over the line or fuck off.
There's a title. Get it over the line or fuck off. Right, okay. So what can we do different on Tuesday then? Let's try and turn this. I'll try and be Ben. I'll try and turn this around to be a bit more positive. I'm not going to sing. Don't worry. Maybe always look on the bright side of life. I'll sing us out to that.
Give us some Barry White like Three Valleys did yesterday.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah. Oh, the walrus of love. Right. So what are we going to do better? What are we going to do better on Tuesday? Are we going to take Joe Quigley out? Are we going to put Adi Youssef in? That was the one change that I was thinking in the second half that, you know, if you're going to try something in the second half yesterday, why not try something like that? What can we do? Come on, tactical masterminds.
Not play Tom Knowles in centre midfield.
Right. I'll just write these down. I'll send these to Darren.
Send them to Carl Dickinson while you're at it.
Yeah.
He's our most, you know, based on last season, our most threatening player going forward, and we're moving him further and further away from goal. And it's, I don't know. Like, you know, we've said move Staunton forward. We've got to try something a bit different.
Yeah.
I don't know who we were told that Robinson could play centre-back, but he does not look like a centre-back. I think he will get the runaround if he's moved into centre-back.
We thought Wakefield was a positive yesterday, yeah? From what I mean, I was only listening to you. Maybe you hold him back a little bit on the radio. I don't know him, but he sounded like a positive.
Yeah, he was. He did well. The one thing that sort of caught my eye was that Gorman or Worthington would break out with the ball in midfield and they'd immediately be looking to that right wing to find Charlie Wakefield, but he was up front and they didn't have that outlet to get the ball forward because there was no option there on the right-hand side. So almost like we're still sort of thinking we're in a 4-4-2, but we're not. There isn't a winger as an outlet.
To maybe bring a Wakefield back and push Knowles out and push Staunton forward. I'm making hand gestures here that you can't see. But...
Yeah, I mean, I liked the 4-4-2.
Yeah.
I did. I think it...
Maybe we could get Mike Bassett in as manager. Well, he liked the 4-4-2, didn't he?
I mean...
Mike Bassett's green and white arm. Yeah.
I like wingers. Maybe we can't play a 4-4-2 without a target man, but Gary Johnson used to do it all the time.
Of course you can play a 4-4-2 without a target man.
Well, yeah, no, I know, but when I say we...
Oh, okay, fine. Royal use.
You know, look what James Hayter and Paddy Madden used to do. And we don't have either of them, obviously. But the intelligence with which James Hayter played when he was coming towards the end of his career with us was...
Don't say he was an experienced player. Don't say he was an experienced player.
I was going to say that for a second there. I thought for a second it was a post-match press conference and someone was looking back on former glories. I'm not sure.
But, I mean, Adi Youssef is 29 and I don't think he has the intelligence of James Hayter for 1 second.
And he's 29 until he's 30. So.
Exactly, yeah. But he's, you know, he's an experienced player who's been around. Like, why aren't we using that? Maybe because he gets sent off for 2 yellow cards in 5 minutes in the last game. But there's an element. Is there an element of trust? I don't know. It feels like, I mean, the turnaround for you, Ben, from Stockport is like unbelievable. Even for Coetzee, the Boreham Wood game, you know.
I was going to say that because the last game I saw, we lost. Yeah. And yet I went out of that game applauding those players off the pitch and we'd lost. And I know we've lost. Well, it feels like we've lost four games since then, but we've only actually lost one. But we've drawn three, and that is just this bizarre to me. And I do have to wonder whether being at home, you know, it's a good thing, because it doesn't feel like a good thing, does it? Based on those poor performances, maybe that's the best thing we can look forward to, is being away.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's because of the whole ownership situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Fans go in that ground with their backup. Is he there? Isn't he there? And he's not there. And yeah, it just doesn't, you know, the whole mentality. Well, for me, the whole mentality changes. I don't know if other people, there's certainly some people who are as close to that as I am. Some people probably don't give a crap that the owner's not there, but
yeah,
you know, there were vocal chants. The chants yesterday were the loudest they've been calling for him to go.
We just have to wonder if at the beginning of that game yesterday, if somebody walked onto the pitch promising this bright new future for the club, how different the place would have been.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so let's bring it back to Tuesday.
I went from being positive to being negative. Sorry, Ben. I'm not very good at being you. Fine. You be you instead.
I agree with most of what you said tactically there. I think we do need to get back to trying something just a little bit different, just to ruffling a few feathers. For me, it's an attitude thing. We have to get back to... Remember before the Halifax game, Pete Wilde said, they're going to try and bully us. They're going to try and bully us. They're going to think they can bully us. And I remember asking Darren Sall about that in the pre-match, and his face lit up. He almost knew he'd got Pete Wilde, the angry little blackcurrant. He almost knew we'd won that game. We went out there and we were Yeovil and we were intimidating on others. They were already calling us bullies. And we won that game and we did bully them and we did keep very, very, very good players quiet. In Stockport, I cannot underestimate. You do not go to Stockport, no matter what form they're in, and do what we did to them and run them ragged and force them into two changes before halftime, because tactically they didn't know what was coming at them. You don't do that. Teams before and teams since haven't done that away at Stockport County. So we had that attitude of, we don't give a monkey's rat's ass who you are or what you're doing.
Monkey's rat's ass.
I don't know what I was going for there. Don't know what I was going for. But we had that attitude of, we don't care. We don't care who you are or who you think you are or what players you have. This group is coming there to get in your face and make things ugly. And we've whimpered against Chesterfield, whimpered against Maidenhead, whimpered against Notts County. Altrincham started okay, whimpered off. Weymouth started okay, whimpered off. It's time for us to rock up at the Bob Lucas with the fish and chips and just slap them about a bit. Honestly, just slap them about. I want Josh Staunton to miss the game against Grimsby at the weekend because he's been booked on Tuesday night. I want his fifth booking. I want Tom Knowles. I want his fifth booking. I want Barnett booked. I want the keeper booked for absolute top level shithousery.
Is that so the manager can get his excuses in for when we get hammered at Grimsby?
I think Elliot Watts is in taking over Ben.
I just want
bookings.
It would be nice to
fear us. Nobody fears us.
No.
Imagine coming to Hewish Park and going, this will be easy. Notts County can't defend for love nor money. We'll just go and walk over them 2-0. Nobody fears us. Halifax feared us. Stockport feared us. And since then, we've been a wet sap. Ridiculous. And that's what I want. I want that attitude to come back. And how you get that, that's down to man management. That's down to your leaders. That's down to your key personnel in the group. That's down to your skivos and your coaches and your manager at the top. And that's what it comes down to. That's what I want on Tuesday night. I want us to be horrible and bully the crap out of them. How dare they come to Hewish Park and draw against us in the last minute? How very, very dare you? We're going to go and slap you on your own patch now on Tuesday instead.
Okay. So, do we know what we're doing on Tuesday yet? Are you going, Ian?
No, despite what Clevo thinks.
He'll be there. He'll be there.
I am not going to be going on.
If you see someone in one of those big, like, Groucho mask, nose and moustaches, that's Ian on the terrace trying to hide from his wife to make sure she doesn't tell him off for going out. It's two nights in a row, though, isn't it? You say it was a trust AGM on Monday night.
AGM on Monday.
Right.
Are you sure your wife doesn't want fish and chips on the beach on Tuesday night?
I have asked.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
She doesn't want to go to Weymouth on a Tuesday night in October, unfortunately.
No, I don't.
Well, neither do I. Neither do I.
None of us do.
I've done four in a row.
Yeah.
I need a night off. And I won't be going next Tuesday either because I'm away on holiday. Woohoo!
All right.
Not in a tent.
I was going to say, this camping is... in late October. That's no. Great.
No.
I'm just looking at the questions that we've had asked to us. Do we move on to them?
I think so.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at social media. Is it really positive?
Yeah. Is it really cheerful? Absolutely jumping. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Actually, I'm just looking through questions to see if there's ones that we haven't asked already. And I'm not sure any of them make things any better. we've got one here from.
Let's just go through them.
Yeah, one here from Adam Skinner. What can, should the fans do to turn things around? Discuss. The fans, that is the fans. Wait a second, there's a bit of tumbleweed just blown past me a second.
This is really good audio, isn't it?
I don't... Well, short of the South End type of thing, I don't know what else fans can do.
There's part of me that doesn't really like that as well, if I'm honest with you. Because that then really that impacts the players, I think, more than the other ways. It is impactful, and it does have its moments. I think about Blackpool when they did it 5 or 6 times in a row and got the Oystons out. I'm not sure how much of a fan I am of that style. Part of me would almost rather you stayed away. I don't know. I think there are boring answers to this. Join the trust. Where you can make a difference. Make sure you're in a supporters group where you are being canvassed of your opinions and your thoughts. Those things help big time. Oh, I've got a smoke alarm going off.
Is that bacon? That? Bacon being cooked.
That's the spam. Spam's over fried.
Oh, no. It's spam fry up. Yeah.
Oh, dear. This is going to make massive... this is wonderful audio. But yeah, so for me, ignore this, listeners. Ignore that. For me, make sure you're in a position where your voice is heard. Both in terms of at the ground by singing, if you want to support, and singing of Priestnell out, Collis out, but also making sure you are in a position where your voice can be canvassed for an official opinion from a trust or a supporters group. There you go.
Do you want to go and check things aren't on fire?
I'm going to go mute and just make sure my family are okay.
Yeah, I think it's a really hard one because, yeah, short of that type of thing that we've seen at Southend, I don't know. And I'm not a big fan of that. I get the argument that it affects the players, but in reality, are a lot of these players going to be here in a year's time, in 2 years' time? Like, the short-term effect on a handful of players versus the long-term effect on impact at the football club that is ours, the football club that we've been to watch for however many years, right? I don't know. I'm not a fan. I wouldn't want to see that, I don't think. But we're reaching a point where what else can supporters do?
To make the point heard, yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends on what we mean by fans turn things around. To turn things around on the pitch, I think the best thing fans could do on the pitch, and this isn't a criticism of what you've just said here, Ian, is to turn up at Weymouth in big numbers and be absolutely feral. Be, you know, just... you know, just raucous, just sing and just go have a proper, what a derby particularly on a midweek should be. Just give that kind of atmosphere. That on the pitch, I think that's the best thing that fans could do. You just go absolutely nuts. Forget the, you know, everything there's, well, maybe don't forget everything that's going on or off the pitch, but on the pitch, I think that's the best thing that we could do as supporters because we can't change anything else. But I think off the pitch, I agree with you guys. The best thing that supporters can do is make their voices heard and make their voices heard, you know, on social media. Maybe that is the only way. I can't imagine Scott Priestnell has even bothered to look at his social media anymore because it's something to do with Yeovil Town. Glenn Collis, I bet you he looks at his social media. So hopefully they're picking up the voices of dissent there. Hopefully, you know, if it is Julian Jenkins who's in the other consortium, hopefully he's looking on social media and he's thinking, we really need to get this done. And if he is talking to Scott Priestnell, maybe he's saying to him, look, Scott, what are you doing here? I mean, you are literally going to be, I don't think for a second that Scott Breeson has got any ambition to go on and manage, you know, be involved in another football club again. But if he has, Jesus Christ, can you imagine what we'll be telling people when he walks into their club? His reputation as anything, you know, if he had a reputation at Yeovil Town, it's in absolute tatters. So, yeah, I would say let's make your voices heard. Make your voices heard on the terrace on Tuesday night if you're there. Make your voices heard, social media, whatever way that you can. Ben's back. He's dressed like he's been in London's burning. So carrying his infant son over his shoulder.
Family are fine. Crumpets are not.
Oh,
oh dear. No.
No. Can't have crumpets this morning, son. Sorry, mate. Man.
Okay.
I heard that rally cry there, Dave. Well played. I like that. Well done.
I mean, a lot of the other questions are like, why have Yeovil been so shit since Stockport? do we think Sal's time's up? Is everyone tired? Mike Hudson's asked, is everyone tired of hearing about Dickinson, Lee and Dagnall? I mean, I think...
Sorry, I saw your question.
I was going to say, I think a lot of these questions we've asked. Matt Crivelli asks, will Sal go shit or bust on Tuesday or take a more conservative approach? A cup run would be absolutely vital to the club financially. Do we think we've answered that one? Shit or bust? Kind of said that. Ben talked about everyone wanting to get booked in the first.
He needs to go bust, but I think he'll go shit.
Yeah. There's another title option written down there. Yeah.
I mean, have we answered the Sal question?
Well, I think I've said that he just, I don't think he's got it anymore. He feels like he's given up. And if he's given up, it's time to go.
I mean, the five conclusions will be up on the website by the time the listeners hear this. And as you two both know, I think it is time. We do need change.
Yeah, but then, as you do say in your five conclusions, there ain't going to be change because nothing changes till everything changes. That's, I'm going to get that tattooed somewhere.
And I want to caveat the fact that through all the stuff we went through since April with the passing of Lee Collins, Darren Sell handled himself immeasurably, and he was, through that time, was just unbelievable. But we can't, you know, we can't base our decision on, or we can't base our feelings around that moment. And he will always have been the manager who was in charge in that awful time. And he handled it immensely well. And it was totally tragic. And I don't think I would have wanted someone else in charge at that time, just the way he handled it. But we're now at a point where on the pitch, these last four games have been awful. I think, like we said, he's got his hands tied behind his back, but he's so close to the owner in terms of he was brought in by this owner. I don't think he'll be removed by this owner. It's just not a recipe for success. Yeah. It really isn't.
I'd add in there as well, if I was going to add a caveat to mine, that the beginning of when he arrived as well, what he did with what he had at that point, and he did get some backing at that point to bring in the experienced lads that we keep talking about. But he did amazing things in that first season to pick us up from the floor and make us all care again.
And what did he have then?
You want to start a podcast?
What did he have then when he came in? EFL money. EFL parachute payments. Mm-hmm. And he's got nothing now.
No, exactly. Like we said, hand behind his back.
Ben?
I am more Natalie and Brulee about this than I ever have been before. Like I said earlier, I don't feel like I am Sal out. But then I don't really know what I am. Like, what's the alternative? Skivo for a few games, go and get some other randomer in who needs to change everything in January. But at the same time, I recognise that even if we win against Weymouth, short of winning 4-0, 5-0 against Weymouth on Tuesday, if we go there and we get a scrappy 1-0 that wasn't very good and our keeper has a worldie and they probably still the better side and they miss a host of chances, but we squeak through, does that make everything okay? No, no, it doesn't. If we go and batter them 4-0 and then go to Grimsby and grind out a Halifax 1-0-less performance and we turn a corner, then yeah, then that will make the difference. But I don't know how long I have in me to kind of go, well, maybe the next one's the start of the turn. Maybe the next one's the one where we kickstart that going again. I don't know. But at the same time, I'm not prepared to stick my flag in the ground and say, no, I am now Sal out. But I really don't know. I really, really don't know. And that is as close as I've ever been. Because the last season, when this conversation came up, when we were crap for that period, you guys did for a time go Sal out. I didn't. And I stuck and said, no, we cannot. We have to stay with him. And this is the only time now where I have questioned my loyalty to him. Because he has had, for the most part, what I wanted. A full preseason, a full recruitment window. But something's not clicking. So I don't know. And that is probably the most damning thing I've said about it, is that I don't know, because he did feel like he was deflated and a bit defeated in that post-match press conference. And he didn't sound like the leader that led us through that first season. He didn't sound like that himself. You know, like you said, Dave, Josh Staunton did. So I don't know, lads. And I know you're going to take the piss out of me by saying I'm sat on the fence and I got splinters in my arse and all the rest of it. And do you know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Because I don't know. I actually don't know. And that is maybe the most heartbreaking thing of it all, is because I did know before. Now I don't know.
Maybe that speaks volumes. I feel like, you know, when you're in like a relationship and you know that you're going to inevitably break up, but you're just hanging on to something and you don't know what that is. It feels like that.
Yeah. Memories. I think that's what we're holding on to. It's memories of those things that we've spoken about. It is that, you know, doing that, the LA, at all those games in the first season. It is listening to Darren Sahl talk after the passing of Lee Collins. It is all of those things. That's what we're holding on to. And we all desperate, like, believe me, there would be nobody happier if I had to eat this hat that I've had up on my shelf for however long, because Darren Sahl turned it around and he can come up to me next time I'm at a game. He can stick a finger up in front of me and say, up yours. I was right, you were wrong.
I was wondering where that finger was going.
Yeah. I would love it. I would love it if he said that.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah. I love it if we beat them.
The biggest damning thing that I can say is that I can no longer give the other side of the coin on this argument. I cannot be the Sal in to your Sal out. Last season I could, and now I can't. But it feels like it's a bit much to go and join you guys yet. I don't know why. I'm sorry that makes me jibbing out. I'm sorry that makes me a rubbish opinionated podcaster, and I know that there will be Yeovil fans who would want everyone to be singing from the same hymn sheet on this, but I just don't know what to say.
I'm not sure I ever quite got Sal out last season. I seem to remember saying that when we lost at Torquay on Boxing Day, I think I said then that he had two games left to save his job. To be fair to him, he beat Aldershot 3-0 and then beat Torquay 2-1 in those next two games. So he did stick a finger up to me, say that very slowly and precisely, at that point. So I'm not sure I ever quite got Sal out last season. But
is the difference that he had two games to save his job this time around and drew 1-1 with Aldershot, Altrincham and Weymouth in two damp squibs?
They do feel very damp. We didn't lose either of them, did we? That's the thing. We haven't lost.
You know how Darren Way specialised in winning draws?
Yeah.
Darren Sahl specialises in losing draws. It's, you know, that's just how the last few games have felt. And maybe it's because I've been overexposed to it for 360 minutes.
No, but Maidenhead with 10 men, Altrincham with a defender in goal, and yeah. Weymouth, you know, seagull bother us in the FA Cup. Three games you should be winning. And not just
are
winning,
they all part-time teams?
They are all part-time teams.
Are Wayne still part-time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't... Obviously, these players can look after themselves a lot more than they could back in the day when teams were part-time. You know, it's a lot more accessible to get to a gym now than it was however many years ago, but we should be tonking part-time teams, shouldn't we?
Yes.
In my view, I think if you're spending all your week on a training ground working with players and these people have other jobs that you're against, you should be putting them away.
We should.
I mean, there was a question, how long before we're part-time?
Yeah, I didn't want to ask that one.
No, I don't really know. I don't really know. But, Jesus, can you imagine?
Yeah, if this is what happens when we're full-time. Well, I mean, I think we are. We've said it for a long time. I don't think ever since we've been, even all those years in the Football League, off the pitch, I'm not sure we ever really got out of the non-league. You know, we've always had that sort of little old Yeovil mentality. There might be there are some exceptions to that. Some seasons where we were a lot more, you know, professional off the pitch. But it does feel that we've always been a bit non-league off the pitch.
When Gary Johnson came back after 6 or 7 years and said,
"Yeah,
nothing's changed," in his first press conference, red flags.
Yeah.
Things have changed now. It's a lot worse.
Yeah.
A lot worse.
All right. Anything
positive to end on?
Ben?
Yeah?
Anything positive to end on?
No.
Right. If you're able to get yourself to Weymouth, like I say, be absolutely feral, let off flares, shout, or actually don't, because it's...
Please don't encourage that. Somerset Police, screaming. We do not encourage that.
Scream and shout and make a real atmosphere. Get behind the players, shout whatever you need to shout about the ownership and what you want them to hear as well. But I think that's the most positive thing, going back to the question, what fans can do. Make your voices heard. That's as near to positive as I can finish on.
Don't shout at journalists trying to do their jobs, though, by the way. Sheridan got some abuse from the stands yesterday whilst she was waiting for the manager. Like, if that's you, you need to give your head a little wobble, please, because that's just stupid. You can be frustrated. You can be cheesed off as much as you like. But come on. People are trying to do their jobs. People are trying to get by. We're trying to ask tough questions. We here at the Glover's Cast have asked tough questions. Sheridan's tried to ask tough questions about Mitch Rose and stuff. Abusing local journalists, give your head a wobble, you idiot.
There you go. There's our positive note to finish on.
That's something I wanted to add in, because that's nothing short of a disgrace. It's nothing short of a disgrace that Avon and Somerset Police having to have a statement saying there's been trouble because some 8-year-old kids are kicking off outside with an average IQ of about 4. You know, this whole club needs realigning a little bit, and it feels like a long way off, and it's got to start Tuesday.
It cannot come quick enough.
No, and
I don't think you get those scenes outside the stadium. You don't get those scenes without the environment and the toxicity that is at the club. In my view,
absolutely, you're right. You're absolutely spot on. So, come on. Come on, Scott. Sort it out. Come on, Glenn. Walk away.
I think we're done here.
Is this when I sing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life? Some things in life are bad. They make you really... No, I won't.
Cheers, lads.
Ta-da.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life.
Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil. Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Magnus, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield could turn away from Tuan. Goal!
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.